welcome into another episode of Grit, a hockey podcast. So the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. Did you guys know that? Are you guys aware?
Oh, wow.
That's fucking nuts.
It's weird,
I missed
right?
that news. Holy.
Yeah, nobody knew that.
Mariah ordered this pin that says Western Conference Champions, so I thought that's as far as we got.
Yeah. Sucks. They won the fucking cup, boys. They fucking won.
Let's fuck.
To be fair, every Stanley Cup merchandise I keep trying to buy keeps getting denied, so I don't believe it. I feel like
yeah, you just made me pay taxes on it. Sorry for you.
I forgot you that happened. And he's like, "I'll give you the money for this merch." Then you got like federal taxes on income. Oh man!
You need to make a new PayPal account. PayPal account, huh?
Man, that was so funny. It's like, I'm just gonna do this favor for my friend, and then everything goes wrong. That's just the way life is, huh?
Just no end to your end. Me and the IRS are coming for that ass.
Damn. All
right. So, for those of you who haven't
waited
listened,
so long to do this episode because we were waiting to see what our 2C would do.
Yeah, I wanted to be able to do the cup. I wanted to be able to do the celebration, and I wanted to be able to do free agency in one pod. Just, you know, tidy little pod. Not have to do anything really over the summer unless something like massive happened. But we've been sitting here for a week with no second line center. So, you know, that's cool.
There's a lot of forwards out there just waiting for Naz to unconstipate.
like Nazem Kadri is just looking at the Avalanche like, you're going to make room? And the Avalanche are like, I don't know, are you going to sign? And then it's just that fucking, like, Mexican standoff spaghetti western
and
music
signs in Philly.
Dude, well, no, so like Philly
has no fucking room.
Philly's a mess. Philly is a tire fire. They couldn't, like, Johnny Gaudreau was like, listen, if you give me like close, like anything near eight figures, then I will guaranteed sign with your team no matter how bad they are. And Philly was like, yeah, but here's the deal. We have Rasmus Ristolainen on a contract that sucks so much ass. And we just picked up one Tony D's nuts for a lot of money. So we can't do that.
So apparently, I decided that because of the situation, Johnny Gaudreau would be one of my breaking my non-chicklets rule interviews to listen to.
Sure.
And he was like, yeah, Philly actually never even like answered our calls or gave us any message. They completely ghosted us the whole time.
Hello, you've reached the office of Chuck Fletcher. I'm not at the phone right now, but go ahead and leave a message and I'll get back to you after the beep.
He also said he was like an hour away from signing in Jersey, and then Columbus called last minute and he changed his mind to go there.
Dude, that's so funny. I heard that Jersey thought that they had him, and then all of a sudden it was like, no, well, Yarmo.
No, he literally was like, yeah, we were finishing out the details of that contract, and then Columbus called by, and he was like, oh, I fucking love Columbus. Let's go to Columbus. Fuck New Jersey.
It was like there was like 5 hours left of free agency, and Columbus called and was like, yo, and he was like, yeah, that's what we're doing.
Dude, I just
apparently
can't...
Johnny was like, yo, I want to come there. And Yarmo was like, oh, fuck. Let me figure this one out. I didn't see it coming.
He just called. He's like, hey, we could give you some money. And he was like,
the interviews on free agency day from Yarmo are hilarious. You can see he's just sitting there like, see, Columbus is tight. Fuck everyone who didn't want to be here. This place rules. Now other people should want to be here because we got a free agent.
Friendship like, ended with Artemi Panarin and Sergei Bobrovsky. Johnny Gaudreau is my best friend now.
Dude, he was elated. Like, you could see the happiness. You could read the text quotes and see how happy he was. You could hear the tone.
I just can't get over like the mental image I have of just Johnny leaving Chuck Fletcher a message. Hey, Chuck, it's Johnny again. Just wondering if you got my calls. I'm very interested in being a Flyer next year. I feel like I can bring a lot to the team. Just get back to me. You know my number. Talk to you later. Bye. And then like 50 messages, and it's just like deranged nonsense coming out of Johnny's mouth.
So you gotta think that them not getting Johnny because he's small, and then getting Naz and being like, have you seen how many times this guy's gotten suspended? He's totally a flyer. We made like 3 trades to get this guy here. 10 million. Like, that's a very flyers move, and you know it.
The thing is, I think their GM is currently is like 5 bottles deep right now, and his fucking office is a mess. Because I'm pretty sure.
No, exactly, dude.
I'm pretty sure he's sitting there getting ready to get fired.
That's actively tried to hurt people. We need to sign him. He's a flyer.
So, like, Chuck Fletcher, the general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers, is like what happens when you have like a kid that like gets into your video game system and goes to your save files and then starts messing with shit. And like he just gets into your hockey game and trades away like a whole bunch of good players and just gives a bunch of people way too much money, except he's a grown adult man who allegedly knows what he's doing. And I find that to be very funny.
I didn't think I would hear this analogy twice in one day. I just got done with Biz Nasty saying, yeah, Vegas is what my Chell team looks like. And as, you know, so that's basically a child playing Chell, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Just, Vegas is having a hard time. The Flyers are having a hard time.
I know a Flyers fan. I don't know Vegas fans. So.
True.
But that Flyers fan deserves it. It's funny.
He did say it wasn't our year this year. Very emphatically.
So I haven't watched... There's a streamer who's a Flyers fan. I haven't watched him in like 2 months. And the Avs win the cup, and I just show up in his chat with a smiley face, and he's like, yeah, get it out.
That's great. I haven't hopped over there in a while, but that's also because I haven't hopped on Twitch in fucking 3 years.
He rolls with the punches,
Eris, and Eris is GF. That's, and Eris is mod.
Hmm. So, Jesus. Vegas just giving away good players because they didn't have the foresight on this whole cap situation thing, huh?
Let me tell you, I would have taken patches for free.
I would have, too. I would give a 7th. I would have one-upped Carolina. The Carolina Hurricanes gave the Vegas Golden Knights future considerations, which, you know, means nothing, for 1 Max Pacioretty. I would have done it for a 7th, which is, like, you know, more insulting, because it's like a penny.
Might have even done it for a 6th.
The thing is, the future considerations can actually turn into something. That is like,
I was going to say the future considerations are Max Pacioretty in like 2 years.
The future considerations are, hey, remember that one time when, you know, you got yourself in cap trouble and couldn't afford to pay a player and we took him off your hands? Give us Max Pacioretty II.
I don't remember. I was listening to an interview. It might have been like a Brian Burke interview or something. But there have been a couple situations where the future considerations are the current player that was being traded, and I think that's the funniest shit I've ever heard.
That's pretty funny.
So I make that joke every time now because it's just too good.
So people actually turn the future consideration just back to the player, so it's like, hey, we just want to borrow your player for a year.
Yeah, pretty much.
Here's your player back.
Yep. That actually sounds like a Jeff Merrick story, so that checks out.
Yeah, that sounds like something he would talk about. I just, like, it's so funny. Because, like, all year, people were just like, well, can you imagine what this Vegas team would look like if they weren't injured, like, all the time? And I'm like, it wouldn't look like this, because the only reason that they can afford to have these players on their roster is because people are injured. And now we're at the point where, like, yeah, no, it wouldn't look like it's currently constructed, because now they don't have people on IR. So, like...
Oh, and then they're firing everybody out the building with a cannon. just firing them out. That's Columbus. Trying to make space. No. Columbus is accepting people into their cannon to shoot at
other They're firing teams. Them into the building with a cannon.
They traded the cannon for future considerations.
They would never. Actually, they had to. That was one of Johnny's stipulations.
Actually, I remember Johnny was like, I'm just going to get locked into the arena and have them fire the thing a million times until I get used to it.
Yeah.
Dude.
Well, there's like 4 or 5 clips of him jumping when it goes off. And it's like, man, come on.
Hearing that Elvis Merzlikins had like PTSD the first time he heard the cannon made me like very sad.
Yeah, same.
They should get rid of that cannon. I think it causes more harm than it does any good.
Nah,
but no.
Nah, just get rid of 4th of July.
True.
I'll agree with that.
Abolish fireworks.
Abolish fireworks.
But then you wouldn't get those 4 or 5 videos every year of like an idiot blowing their house up and laughing.
Yeah, but because... you would also not have hockey players get killed by them.
Oh, that's right. That's how that happened.
Yeah, that's why
he has PTSD. Yeah.
His fucking friend died blocking a fucking firework from hitting his wife.
Yeah.
Fuck 4th of July, man. Jesus.
I know. Johnny Gaudreau left Calgary, and now Matthew Tkachuk wants out too, is the news going around today. He's like, I will not sign long-term with the Flames. Please trade me.
Saw a list, and then I saw a bunch of people saying, yep, that's the list. And then I saw 2 hours of a bunch of other people saying, nope, I can confirm that's not the fucking list.
Well, let's say I saw a bunch of check marks go like, no, that's not the list. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Because the list was all tax-free. Like, every tax-free state.
Yeah, it was, it was Dallas, it was Florida, Tampa, Vegas, and
St. Louis was on there, and that was the only non-tax.
Yeah, and it's because, like, you know, St. Louis.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny, though. It kind of checked out, because in the Chicklets interview, Gaudreau was like, yeah, Johnny, or not Johnny, Maddie. Yeah. Messaged me and was like, yeah, Columbus is like, let's think you like St. Louis used to be like a low key hidden gem. And then I was like, I saw Tkachuk wants to go to St. Louis. I was like, okay, well, those are some puzzle pieces that fit together, I guess.
Yeah. You're roboting a little bit, by the way, buddy.
Well, I guess we'll wait a minute until it fixes.
Yeah.
Continue.
No, you're all good. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people are just like, why the fuck did he go to Columbus? Columbus sucks. And it's just been a whole bunch of like people coming out of the woodwork to say, the hell are you talking about Columbus for? Get my city's name out of your mouth. And actually Columbus rules and stuff. And as a person who has
right now,
you're better.
Yeah.
As someone who has no vested interest in Columbus. People are really, really trying to defend Columbus if they're from Columbus, and I think they're huffing butt copium. Unless they know it sucks.
There are a bunch of people that are not from Columbus that are defending it too, and I don't know if they're just trying not to be mean. I have no opinion one way or the other. All I know is I think
Columbus defenders are like NFT owners, and they're just coping so hard trying to defend their thing.
The only thing
criticism that is valid.
The only thing that I know is whenever I look at a cardboard box, that thing came from Columbus. look at your cardboard boxes, everybody. It has a Columbus stamp at the bottom, I guarantee you.
Yeah, I'll go reach into my collection and inspect them.
Do
you have lots of those lying around?
Inspect those boxes, okay? So yeah, I mean, as far as free agency goes with the Avalanche, I like a lot of the moves that they've made. Obviously, we have that big glaring hole in second line center that I don't know what the hell they're going to do.
Again, the Avalanche are just sitting there looking at Kadri and just telling him, figure out your life so we can figure out ours.
I've heard a lot of bad ideas.
I keep hearing the trade Gerard campaign people coming out of the fucking sewers, and it's making me really fucking sad and really upset.
It's stupid.
So
they want to trade Gerard into open cap space, but that's not why you would trade Gerard. You would trade Gerard because you're going to get a return for him.
Yeah, me and Dakota had this fight in DMs for like, it was like a 2-day, you know, we were starving each other out, like, you know, really going at each other's throats. Just total fuck fest. He was mad at the Gerard haters, and I was like, listen, it makes sense to fucking trade Gerard, just not for cap space. You trade Gerard for fucking a 2C for PLD Dubois.
I definitely don't want Pierre-Luc Dubois anymore, by the way, since we've had that argument. You, like, kind of sold me on him, and then he was like, actually, I hate every team that isn't the Habs, so trade me to the Habs, please, and is causing a shit show over in Winnipeg. So I don't want any of that near the Avs.
Yeah.
I've only heard that he wants to go to the Habs. The Habs. I haven't heard that he's being...
The thing is, everybody keeps going like, well, so that he's going to get traded to the Habs. I'm like, no, I would I would not give this piss baby what he wants.
Because he's being very, like, vocal and shitty about it.
Yeah.
I feel like I usually catch a lot of this. I need to see it.
Okay. Do your homework. We'll reconvene night school in about a week. And then you're going to be like, yeah, PLD suck.
I'm just saying your argument is Pierre-Luc dubious until I see proof.
use the evidence of your eyes and ears.
Okay.
I Google searched Dubois and it was, I see. I hate you, Twitter.
I see Marie from Splatoon doing unsightly things.
No.
Oh no.
Get owned.
That's why you can't trust Twitter anymore.
So for the most part, the Avalanche's moves haven't been going out and getting new players to add to the roster. It's mostly just been how much of this team that just won a cup can we keep on and have stay here? And as far as that goes, they're doing a pretty damn good job.
Yeah.
So
besides slightly overpaying everybody. Yeah.
But they're not going insane with the term and the overpay. It's just, you know, slight overpays for, like, not a whole lot of term.
My only issue is, like, yeah, so they all don't have big contracts, but it's literally everyone's been slight overpaid, minus Lekkonen and Nichushkin. I would say Nichushkin probably took more money than I would have liked. For the fact he got an 8-year contract with that, but that's fine. We'll survive that by the end of that contract because hopefully the cap will be up by then.
Yeah. So Nichushkin got an 8-year, $6.1 million deal, which I think could end up being like very good for the Avalanche if he maintains the pace that he was at, if he maintains that level of play. Then that's a really solid deal, but he has to maintain it. Otherwise, it is a lot of money for a dude.
The thing is, I can see him easily keeping that value as long as he works hard on his forechecks still. Because I feel like as long as he does that, he will be an effective player.
Yeah,
kind of no matter what. Like, he'll still probably have his dry spells of not scoring every once in a while because he's, you know, Stonehand McGee.
Yeah, I think that as long as he's an effective top six player, you're happy paying that much money.
Yeah. And then the Lekkonen deal is an absolute beautiful contract. I love it.
My boy, Lecky.
I don't have any of the details in front of me, but that's not the contract I have issues with.
5-year, $4.5 million.
5-year, $4.5 million? Yeah, that's a really good deal.
Yeah.
My only issue is the slight overpayment for Helm and Cogliano and Manson all together.
But
because having all three be slight overpaid causes there to be spacing issues for other contracts.
But it's 1 year.
Yeah, it's 1 year. No, like, I accept the fact they're all 1 year.
Except for Manson. Manson is 4 years. Yeah,
Manson's 4 years, but he's a defenseman, and you hope that, and we're kind of hoping he stays for at least 2 of those years, and then we ship him off after that. That's fine. It's just more of the current offseason right now, with especially them talking about trading players away for cap space, and I'm just sitting there going like, I don't know, we might just have a little bit more if we didn't slight overpay 3 players at the same time.
I don't hate 1.25 for Helm and Cogliano. Like, maybe Helm is a little, but like, I don't hate 1.25 for Cogliano the way that he plays.
Oh yeah, no, again, I'm not gonna sit here and say it is the worst than all albatrosses. They're just a little expensive, but for what they have done on the team, I mean, it's right.
You just kind of add up all these like 500k, 600k, and then all of a sudden it turns into some real money.
Yeah. That is the issue. It's just like there's a handful all at the same time, and it kind of hurts when they're all at the same time.
Yeah. Well, so people want to say like trade Sam Girard to free up $5 million in cap space on a dump, and like, you know, that's stupid because Sam Girard has real value, and if you're trading him, you better get a real player back.
Yeah, and then people are like, you know what? You don't want the futures that you could get for him? And I'm like, no, I don't want futures.
No, I want
fucking 2C. It isn't going to be, you know, we're not signing to a fucking 5 or 6 year deal until he's decrepit and his fucking 4, you know what I mean? Like, come on.
Yeah. Like, I love Nazem Kadri. But he's going to be at that point in his career where he's battling against Father Time. And my man Father Time does not lose. Unless your name is Jaromir Jagr.
The thing is,
Jagr's still going strong, baby.
Jagr is going strong in a different league.
Listen, don't besmirch
Jagr is fueled exclusively by the people, by all the chicks, dude.
Jagr's 50 and still going. I love him.
Jagr's a well-known ladies man, and that's the only thing that keeps him playing, I tell you what.
But yeah, I think that a contract, so like the elephant in the room is that like Eric Johnson's contract is probably the worst one on the team.
Yeah.
But you're not getting rid of EJ. He's an AV through and through.
You're not trading him away, because I don't think any team would accept any trade with him.
I mean, they would if you retain, but...
What? We're trying to dump all that six. Yeah. So, no.
I think like... I don't know. We won the cup, so I'm not worried about it, right?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
If like, we hadn't won the cup, I'd be sitting here like EJ 6 million's looking bad, or
yeah.
Not loving it. But I'm like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Like,
I think like in terms of cup winners overpaying their players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Signing Nuke to that deal is the one that could backfire the most, but all those other like light overpayment stuff, I'm like, yeah, what?
Yeah.
I think Manson...
Naz would be the like.
Yeah. Naz and Manson. Manson's like contract as it is has a potential to go bad, but it's not long enough to be the worst, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's only $4 million, right? We're not like throwing them a bunch of money. Like, yeah, it's not a.
It's 4 years for a 30-year-old player at 4.5.
Yeah, like you're okay. Good. Yeah. Branson just got that same deal and is worse, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, yeah, I mean, listen, my current thought is you're slight overpaying some guys because you won a cup and you're in a way better position than a lot of these other teams, right?
Yeah.
If you give Naz a bunch of money in term, I don't feel that way anymore. That's my post-cup handicapping yourself.
Then I think that it becomes more interesting when we get to MacKinnon and Rantanen. And how much of those guys end up getting, especially if they manage to squeak in another one between now and the time that they re-sign. I wonder how stupid that can end up getting, if they're just going to be like, hey, Nate, here's fucking 14x8, or whatever, you know?
Most people seem pretty confident that Mac won't break 12. Unless he pops off and has another, like, heart year. But having a couple quiet years, I think he's not going to shoot too far past Connor.
I think he also just wants to win. It'll be interesting to see how he feels now that he's got his cup. Because for a long time, I mean, he was just like, I have to win a cup or else.
It was funny because everybody quoted an interview from Chicklets, and then TMVR was like, everybody's misquoting that interview. He didn't explicitly say it, and then they looked it up, and they're like, oh, well. I was like, no, he said that. He said he'd take less. He wasn't implying anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, who knows now that he won, right? Like you're saying.
Yeah. Well, so people are worried about, like, where are we going to get, if we sign these people, where are we going to get the money for Nathan McKinnon's contract next year? And the answer is Eric Johnson's contract.
Yeah.
Like, it expires next year. That money, that chunk of money that is being paid to Eric Johnson just moves over to Nathan McKinnon and you call it a day.
Yeah.
And if you need to finagle a couple more million, like, you can move guys, like.
Yeah.
You know, you can make it work. Like, they're not going to not be able to get Nathan McKinnon back.
Yeah. If you're concerned about that and you're listening to this, don't be. Like, it is the easiest situation in the world. It'll get figured out.
That was one thing that made me laugh my ass off when I heard somebody go like, well, yeah, so they have EJ on their books for another year, but they're like, what are they going to do about Nathan McKinnon's contract? And you just sit there, you're like, you guys just talked about the contract that we're just going to shove into McKinnon's.
Like, you talked about Nathan's McKinnon contract when you brought up Eric Johnson, buddy. Like, come on.
The word on the street is that McKinnon's extension probably would have been done by now if this Naz stuff wasn't taking, like, the whole summer.
Dude, I know.
I wake up every day looking at my phone expecting to see some news and then not seeing the news. Yeah. What the fuck, yeah, dude?
We are legitimately a week into Naz Watch, and I'm just like, how did this happen?
I literally woke up, opened Twitter, and I saw the Avs posted something. I was like, oh shit, let's go. And then it was some fucking AHL signing, and I sat there and was like, all right, wake me up when the real news comes by. And went right back to sleep.
So, is Joe Sakic no longer being the general manager of the Colorado Avalanche the best kept secret that isn't a secret in the league?
Why?
Because I've been listening to a ton of free agent stuff, and everybody's panicking about, like, how Joe Sakic needs to, like, figure out, like, you know, the 2C situation. Is it Kadri? Like, blah, blah, blah. Is it this? Is it that? And I feel like nobody knows that that's not actually his job anymore. Like, he'll be involved for sure, because he's still president of hockey ops, still has a huge
I'm actually on the other side of you on this one.
Yeah.
I think that it's fine that people say that, because as far as I understand, they're going to do this exact same shit they did, except for Chris is going to make the calls, but otherwise it's going to be the same thing. And Joe's going to be making a lot of decisions still. So I don't care that much that people say Joe's back still. Like, it doesn't bother me that much.
And I'm not saying it bothers me, like, at all, because I think
that,
like...
I can hear you're coping and seething. And
no,
plus
so...
L
well, so
ratio.
I just think that it's... that the last thing that you expect from a team that just won a cup is the guy who built that team no longer being the GM. So I think it's, like, totally understandable. I just find it to be, like... there is a whole lot of hockey news going on right now that is way more important than, like, the Avs have a new GM. And so I totally understand how, like, that just, like, gets buried under all this bullshit that's been happening. But I find it to be humorous, is where I'm at.
You know who doesn't find it to be humorous? Redditors. I swear to God, every Habs-related post I read on that fucking website right now, somebody saying Joe Sakic and other people being like, actually, Joe Sakic is not the GM anymore.
It's Chris McFarlane.
Joe Sakic has nothing to do with the team. He'll be making zero decisions now because he doesn't have the GM title.
That's dumb.
Hell, they're going to be doing it together. It's cool.
So
I don't care that people...
My only argument I point at is whenever people talk about the Penguins, they say Rex et al. And not Burke. Even though I sit there and go, like, I know Hextall's the GM, but I'm pretty sure Brian Burke is, like, the head honcho of, like, what is going down over there, so...
Burke is actually second to him. He admitted it.
Oh, he admitted it? Okay. Well,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah.
So, Joe Sakic is still going to have a hand in things, right? And Chris McFarlane was a huge part of that general management team. That has been fleecing people over the last few years. So if you're worried about that at all, don't be. People should still throw
a cup is that tandem of GM and assistant GM.
Yeah. So
the reason they wanted to keep the tandem together, they needed to give people some titles and some bucks.
So people should still be throwing their phone in the nearest lake anytime they see that the Avalanche are calling them.
No. The thing is, now they have to block a new number.
Yeah, they're going to make a bunch more trades because they don't have Chris's number.
So somebody answers the phone. Oh, hey, Chris, how's it going? And the lightning strike just goes off in the background. You just see a tall, hulking figure with a phone in his hand.
You've made a grave mistake. You answered that one.
You fool.
No! He immediately sits there and screams out into the sky.
What happened? We traded all of our prospects for a fifth.
We traded 2 seconds for Eric Johnson.
We even threw in a conditional first. Well, what's the condition? He makes it to the airport.
It's our first overall in 2023. Fuck.
The Avs get Bedard and just go to town for years. Oh, I'm here for it. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Oof.
It's one of those inside baseball things that you don't expect a lot of people to know, but
yeah,
at the same time, it's annoying watching everybody correct everybody constantly about it.
I wouldn't go to the point where I would correct people.
I'm not even saying you are. I'm just saying the Redditors.
Well, yeah, no, but because it is so inside baseball, especially for like a fan base that is largely just getting excited because their team did the thing, right? Like, they just won a cup. People are like, yo, Avalanche are fucking sick. Whether they've been following
like
them for years or months. Yeah, like Cole. This is like, they won.
Or
they
a
won,
series.
They won the cup, and now I'm getting a tattoo on my, I'm getting a tramp stamp. I'm getting an Avalanche tramp stamp. Always been a fan.
The anime
first
girl
time,
tattoo
long time.
That I was getting, she's wearing an Avalanche shirt now.
Like, I don't expect people to know this kind of stuff. Like, when I was really into football, I didn't know anything about, like, general managers or, like, contract situations or anything like that, and I still enjoyed myself, like, a lot, right? Hockey just, like, hit me different to the point where I, like, became very interested in that, like, inside baseball side of things. So
I feel like it's a lot harder to avoid with hockey. I feel like it's so intrinsic to a lot of the discussion because the community is smaller.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, it doesn't help that the media medias will just constantly talk about the GMs of the teams. A lot of times when there's like any decision making, they're like, the GM.
Fucking listening to Premier League shit, and it's like, yeah, $500 million is going this way for this. I'm like, all right, what? Okay, cool. Whatever. Hey, there's a weird Norwegian guy who plays for the team now. Sick.
So, players that were on the Avalanche that are no longer on the Avalanche. Andre Burakovsky.
No.
Andre Burakovsky to the Kraken.
I'm a Burra hater.
See, I love Burra, but I also hate him. Because that man is the most on and off person ever. See,
I
they're doing a million
on upping
things.
My Kraken fucks, and now I have to continue to watch Burra.
Yeah, not a huge loss for the Avalanche, I don't think. He played on the third line for most of the playoffs and got like scratched and injured and stuff, and they seemed okay without him. It's definitely still a hit in production because my man scores goals and points, but there was no way in hell they were going to be able to afford him. Good luck in Seattle. They need goal scorers.
Yeah, they need somebody to make that fan base lively. And I feel like he can just, if he can throw in a bunch of goals, that fan base will get more attention.
I mean, thankfully, they randomly just have an awesome prospect pool now.
because of the draft. We should, once we're done talking about Avalanche people, we should describe what happened at that draft to Devin and Dylan, because I think they will find it to be very funny.
Well, is it the PLD thing?
No, although that is also very funny.
Pick stuff.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So here's the I was reading about this, ignoring you guys for a second. I see nothing about him being a bitch, and a lot about Winnipeg only accepting a trade from the Habs if they give them a certain player they don't want to move. So that PLD kept getting honey dicked out of trades and like was in Montreal because he thought he was going to get traded and Winnipeg wouldn't budge.
Ah, okay.
That's what I was reading. So I'm still on the PLD train.
You would be.
Even if it's only for like 2 years, that's better than 100 years of Naz.
So yeah. Burakovsky gone. Probably fine. Big Jost himself, Nico Sturm, gone.
I'm sad about that one. I liked Sturm.
I liked Sturm. I am more emotional about it because of the Jost factor. I think it kind of sucks real bad that Jost wasn't part of all of this, if I'm being completely honest.
I think it sucks for him. I don't care.
Well, I was going through the Avs 360 stuff today because I knew we were going to be recording today. And I sat there and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. Jost was here for most of the year and is a cool guy. And I miss him already again.
The day we won the cup, he deleted his Instagram though. And I was like,
yeah. But yeah, Sturm to the Sharks, which means that we lose the fandom of the Minnesota Whitecaps. Very unfortunate, even though they're from Minnesota.
He also lost Abe Kubel's girlfriend.
Dude, yeah, no. Abe Kubel.
No, him? Media. Who cares? His girlfriend? Sad.
Dude, he had a pretty okay social media as well. But
she did all of it, from what I understand.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen.
He carried it.
She gave him the King Garbage name and everything.
Hire her as a publicist after you marry her. Easy. Nepotism.
We lost him to the Leafs.
The most significant loss is Darcy Kemper.
Calvert.
Wait, what?
And Matt Calvert, I'm still sad about it.
He was in the building for a bunch of playoff games, and I was like, I fucking miss you, man.
Hey, he will be proud. Number 11 was worn by a hardworking man, and will be continued to be worn by a hardworking man.
You moved on from Knack so quickly, but he on Instagram, he was like, Landy was like, we're gonna miss you, buddy. And he was like, love you, Cap, with a heart emoji. And I was like, aw.
Oh, damn.
No.
Well, now I want him back.
I feel like they all bonded after that man broke that cup. Like, they all were
dude,
like, all
he
right.
did speed run the cup break, didn't he?
He was like, all right, guys, I'm coming in for the picture. Toe picks, drops, fucking just smashes the bottom in, and everybody goes like, oh my god, no!
Listen, we all knew that the Avs are fast. They wanted to break the cup faster than anybody's ever done it.
Just pure sadness.
But yeah, Darcy Kemper signed a 5x5 with the Capitals. Way more money than we were going to give him.
The Capitals got revenge. They stole our goalie.
After years of having goalies stolen from them, finally, they steal one from the Avs.
I'm happy after me making this joke twice, you guys got to make it on the podcast.
Exactly. Finally, we steal a joke from Jake instead of the other way around.
I don't steal jokes from you. I steal jokes from people that are funny.
So anyways, so people were like, it's fine, Darcy wasn't that good anyways in the playoffs, and I think that those people are nuts.
I will ask you to make as many saves as he did with one eye.
Well, so the big thing with Kemper is that his stats weren't good.
Stats weren't good after getting his eye gouged out.
Yeah, he had to go to an eye doctor to retrain his eye 2 or 3 times a day to be able to see the puck. And he was just playing like that for a bunch of games until he decided that he couldn't play like that anymore. And then when he came back, he was pretty damn good. Let in some soft ones, but overall did a really good job, especially in the final round. Where
that last game, he made one save that would matter.
Listen.
He literally out-dueled Vasilevskiy. Who cares what happened in front of him? He did what he had to
do. He's better than Andrei Vasilevskiy, is what I'm saying. The Capitals got a good one. Read no further into it. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with losing him. I think the people who hated him always hated him and are bitches, but...
I think it's okay.
I think signing him to a 5 years, you gotta really be confident that that shit's not gonna be an issue.
I think that I would not have given him a 5x5. That's a big overpayment for me. I think it makes a lot of sense to move from him. I don't think he was as bad as people made him out to be. But, you know, moving on to our new guy, Alexander Georgiev. I think, you know,
Georgiev, come on, man.
Georgiev.
Okay, well, now you're being more of a
Georgiev.
All right, just everyone call him what he's going to be called. He's going to be called Georgie. We all accept it. We all float down.
Yeah, some people were trying to say Geo, and I was like, shut the fuck up.
I shortened that so that I didn't need to use 7 characters. I only needed to use 3.
We all float down here.
Yeah, we all float down here with Georgie.
Hey, Georgie, want to make a save?
We brought JoJo back too, so I can make Georgie and JoJo jokes.
True.
I keep forgetting that JoJo's back with the.
Yeah, JoJo's back on the menu, boys.
He is literally just here for when Frankie dies.
I think Dylan and Devin missed that, but yeah, JoJo's back.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Oh, hell yeah. How did this turn of events happen?
We signed him to money.
We gave him money. He said yes.
We gave him AHL and NHL money. He was like, hell yeah, brother, let's go.
So do you think...
shouldn't see the NHL squad, but knowing hockey and the Avs.
Yeah. Do you think he's 3 or 4 on the depth chart?
He has to be 4. You can't fuck Anonym. Just out of his...
Yeah. Yeah. That was my impression, but I just wanted to be sure. So, like... I'm with you. We shouldn't see JoJo.
I think
like if you're worried. Screwing Eustace out of his business, like, oh, you're making bad moves, or we lost opening.
Well, so I think that my question is more, Eustace Annan is going to be the starter for the Eagles. He is, right? But if something happens to Frankie, do we see Eustace first, or do we call up JoJo first?
Eustace needs NHL time. Like, he needs those games for experience.
I agree. I'm not a goalie development expert,
but
I think we need to see what we have out of Eustace. So like,
if he's gonna start, you don't expect him to for another like 3 or 4 years, right? But he needs to be like maybe 2 or 3 years, right? But he needs to start like actually seeing games and being involved in shit.
Did you guys know that the pick that we used to draft him, we got from the fucking Duchene trade?
Yes, because I remember the Sportsnet trade tree on that one.
That trade is nuts.
I also remember Steve like brutally murdering that name.
How Eustace Annan, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I can't say this name. All I know is they're gonna call him the Justice. And I was like,
Justice.
Okay.
I hope he's good, because that's a fun thing to call someone. Also, it would be nice to have a drafted goalie that just is our starter for once.
I know, right?
Yeah. Instead of looking at other teams going like this, can you please give us your hand-me-downs? Please. Please. Give us.
We've done that 0 times, right? We've gotten a quality starter from the draft in terms of goaltending.
Yeah, no, they just said never done it. No.
Yeah, I don't know anything about, like, long-time goalies from the past, like David Avisher and Peter Budaj or whatever. I have no idea where those dudes came from. But
yeah,
I know
I'm
that
thinking
it's been a
I
while.
Heard that from DMVR, though. Like, I think AJ was talking about how the Avs have never done that shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, like, that's the Avs. Georgiev's going to be interesting. Had a rough year last year.
I guess we should give the lowdown on him, huh?
Yeah, he had a rough year last year. But digging into some of the numbers, it seemed like he was good at 5-on-5, but he was abysmal on the power play, like so bad on the power play. And that's where a lot of his numbers kind of took a hit from what I was looking at.
Goal on every 3 shots.
Yeah.
Bad.
Brutal. Brutal power, penalty kills. Brutal penalty kill numbers out of Georgiev, which sucks because you need your goalie to overperform during a penalty kill to not get scored on, and he was doing the opposite. So we'll see how that goes. They're definitely going to look at that with him, figure out what's going on. He will definitely be in a better mental space here than he was on the Rangers. The team that we traded for him from, because he has an opportunity to be a starter again. He did not have that opportunity with the Rangers because they have arguably the best goalie, depending on who you ask, in the league, and Igor Shesterkin.
He just won the Vezina.
Yep. And he gets to play on a team with Mikko Rantanen, who he hangs out with in the off season all the time. So,
oh, does he?
Yeah, he hangs out in Finland during the off season, and he hangs out with like Laine and Rantanen.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Really pissed that Johnny Gaudreau threw Columbus a bone because we could have gotten Laine.
Dude, I'd be about it.
How much room does Columbus have?
Columbus doesn't have enough to re-sign Laine right now.
But I assume they just make a trade.
Yeah, Yarmo was like, we did not see this coming. Johnny came to us, and it took us a couple days to get back to him because we were surprised and we needed to make a plan.
They have $2 million in cap space right now, which is definitely not Patrick Laine money.
What is his qualifying?
Ooh.
It has to be at least 3.
Just to be clear, the qualifying is the value of his last contract, right?
Oh,
the value of the last year of his last contract, and you have to meet it.
Okay. So that was 6¾.
Oh, so he has a 6. Oh, wow, that's a high qual. 6.
Yeah. So pretty much 7.
So. Player is $7 million on that team, and they can get rid of.
Well, they just signed a pretty awful one.
7.5 for 21-22 on cap friendly.
7.5.
Yeah.
What was that? That was the value of his last year.
6.7.
Okay, so that was
20 and 2021.
That was the. That was the money. Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, 7.5 is what like. The dollar value.
Yeah, he did the 1 year contract for 21-22. Is what cap friendly says. After doing 2 years.
Oh, sorry.
6.7 is.
For some reason, they don't have. I was looking at the last contract. That's like past contracts or whatever. So I was looking at 2021. Yeah, 7.5. 7.5 is his QO. So they have to pay him at least $7.5 million.
Unless they like arbitrate or whatever.
Decides
a lower number, but
I guess Gustav Nyquist is a person that people have said maybe you move. To make that happen, I don't know who would take Nyquist.
Arizona.
Yeah, that's one thing I keep hearing people Tara out is you just cap dump to Arizona, but that's because Arizona has been everybody's toilet for bad contracts. But is it was even like
Chicago too?
Well, Chicago this year, but that's because Chicago is actively is trying to tell Patrick
Kane.
Suck hard
for Bedard.
Well, no, they're trying to tell Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews to please let us move you.
Yeah, but they're also trying to ask hard for Bedard.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, yeah, look at quick glance, they have people to move. They maybe could have not signed Goodbranson.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, that's kind of what I felt about Manson after they announced it, because the timing was like Manson and the Avs agreed to 4 years, $4.5 million, and then shortly after it was like people were like, you know, it turns out that Nazem Kadri is very interested in coming back because he's not getting offers that are blowing him away. And it's like, oh, kind of wish we had about $4.5 million in cap right about now to make sure that that happens. But it'll be interesting.
At the same time, I can't expect them to sit on their hands and like wave for that kind of decision.
Yeah,
right?
For
like,
sure. For sure.
If it comes to you, you figure it out. But I'm not going to hold that against them.
Well, especially because Manson and his family seemed very interested in going back to California.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to be like,
and
hey,
a cup makes things a lot. Makes certain things a lot easier, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, you
maybe
just...
I had a great year with these guys. I was actually, you know, okay, I can stay.
Yeah, I can stay. You remember when we had 8 million people just in front of the place that you were hanging out out in downtown? Wasn't that cool? Those people love you.
Damn it.
So yeah, now that we're done with that, let's break down what happened at the draft real quick. The big... surprise of the draft.
Big surprise.
The big surprise.
The big surprise.
The big surprise.
Big surprise.
So the name of the episode now. The big surprise.
Oh, okay, instead of 8-bit music, can we have the opening be Maxine Nightingale's hit single right back to where we started from?
No. It's obviously going to be All the Small Things.
Can we please not? Like, I beg of you.
For the love of God, no.
They won the cup. It is their song. It is decreed.
No, like, actually, can we not? Please. I listen to these.
Don't lie to me.
It's definitely happening now. So yeah, the past couple years, there has been a consensus number one guy that was going to go first overall in the draft no matter what. And that man's name is Shane Wright.
Turns out all those speculations were Shane wrong.
True. So Shane Wright is a center, two-way center, responsible offensively and defensively. And the team who selected first overall this year is the Montreal Canadiens, a team in desperate need of a center and defense. So you would imagine that maybe this is a good fit. But like everything else Montreal does, they sucked. They messed it up.
You don't draft for position. You draft best player available. But they didn't do that either.
True. They messed it up.
But essentially, he dropped to fourth overall because the next two teams also did not pick him.
Because the second team was the Devils, and they've been taking centers for the past 5 years in the draft because they win the lottery every year, and I hate them. So they picked a defenseman, according to one Rudo. They picked the wrong defenseman. And I think that would
again,
be
you don't
very
pick for
funny.
Pick position. Again, you don't pick for position. You picked best player available, and they failed to do that.
And then third overall, the Arizona Coyotes had an interesting choice. They could have taken Shane Wright, or they could have taken Logan Cooley, who is a more high-skilled offensive player with a potentially higher ceiling than Shane Wright.
but a lower floor. So they took a risk and decided to take Cooley, meaning that the Seattle Kraken at fourth overall got the guy that for like 2 years everybody's been like, yeah, he's the guy. So the Kraken got lucky because the top three teams all had moments of insanity going on.
And last year, the Kraken drafted an elite center as well. So now all of a sudden, they just have a 1-2 punch for their future and have actually things to like give a fuck about. You can actually be excited for that team after they butt fumbled the stupid expansion draft and shit.
Yeah. And you get to see their best winger, Andrei Burakovsky, winner of two Stanley Cups.
On that one. They're going to have to work on that one.
Winner of two Stanley Cups, Andrei Burakovsky.
Yeah, you know, there's two something else that he fucking got to experience when he won Stanley Cups that I wish got up to four, but I don't think any of us were that lucky.
What?
Have you not seen the picture of him staring at the tits? Because the chick was flashing him with the
cup. Yeah, okay. I remember that one. The Capitals thing.
Didn't happen again. Sad.
It's those Tampa ladies, man. No balls.
Yeah, chicks in Florida definitely don't want to show anybody their shit.
Well, to be fair, the Capitals did win in Sin City, so
yeah, Vegas.
So yeah, they were more lucky.
Goddamn.
Florida is known for its reasonable and level-headed population. That would never happen there.
Yeah, but Vegas, I'm pretty sure, has just the mindset of, oh yeah, we see tits everywhere all the time.
You kind of do. Vegas is
someone
weird.
Who's been to Vegas. Well, I was like, it's like, dudes and fully clothed in like jackets and shit in 100-degree weather were handing me like cards with naked ladies on them that had stripper phone numbers.
Yes.
I was walking down the street like, let's fucking go.
You're like, yes, win.
My grandparents were walking behind me laughing because I'd be like, yo, hook me up, bro.
So yeah, that's basically what happened after the Avs won the cup. We haven't really talked about
Curtis
what happened
McDermott
during.
Died.
Curtis did fall over, just so drunk.
Keeper of the cup was there, and you see him running in as he falls over. Like, no!
Dude, we went to the parade, and the keeper of the cup walked by, and I was like, hey, what's up? The dude's just in the parade. Fucking weird. Nowhere near the damn cup. Just chilling.
No, Dakota, he was 30 feet in front of the truck that had the cup, and he was staring at it the entire time.
He was in front of it. He wasn't walking backwards. What?
No, there was a point where I saw him turn around, and he was walking backwards.
Yeah, but he wasn't marching the whole parade backwards,
man. No, he wasn't. No. But also, the other thing was, he wasn't always off the float. Because he was on that truck for a good portion of it.
TV showed him on the float for like 90% of the time.
Okay.
Well,
he walked by us and he was well ahead of that cup. And I was like, what is my man doing?
On his fucking job, apparently.
Oh, I think he just accepted that trophy is going to get annihilated. And he was like, cool. I'm just going to leave.
There's a clip of, I think it's McKinnon holding the cup and swaying like off the edge of a fire truck, and the keeper sitting there next to it, like staring at him.
Just shooting daggers into his back.
Has to babysit a whole bunch of drunk Avalanche players all the time. As far as the Lightning series goes, let's just kind of condense it real quick. I don't have a whole lot to say about it. I think the series was good. Both teams each got a blowout. The Tampa Bay blowout happened immediately after our blowout, so my statement of we could win 10-0 and you still got to worry held strong. Everything else was just a one-goal game. I think the Avalanche played amazing most of the time. I think they deserved the win.
They played the best third period in that last game that I've ever seen a hockey team play.
Dude, the first shot on goal that period, they let in from half, from the red line, half ice on a dump in like halfway through the period. Like, it was insane.
Now, I remember like just like listening to a bunch of people talk about it, and they're all like, oh my god, we were expecting the Lightning to like attempt to do that to the Avalanche all series, but they just couldn't. And then the Avalanche were like, get owned. We were playing amazing defense. We're not letting you pass this. We're not letting you pass the red, the half. We're not letting you cross center ice, because as soon as you do, we will strip this puck from you.
I was getting pissed because all the post coital discussion was, yeah, the Lightning just won two cups. They couldn't, you know, they had no more energy, so the Avs just kind of took over.
Oh yeah,
it was a lot of, yeah, the Lightning were just tired, so they had no way to win. And I was like, fuck off.
Oh yeah, no, that was the other half where everyone was like, all right, they played the best third period we've ever seen, but that's because the Lightning were just too tired, man.
They gave what they had to give, and they couldn't push over the line. And I was like, no, fuck you, okay? Like, you got to take it away from the Avs whenever you can, don't you? Holy shit.
Yeah.
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 Honestly, the actual hockey, I don't give a fuck. We won the cup, baby.
Dude. The only thing I care about is that 7-0 game was fucking nuts. I loved it.
Care about Bo playing 20 minutes a night by the end of those playoffs?
I care about Bo screaming post that on social media for no reason after they won.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, I was very confused. I sat there and was like, that's Bo. Why is Bo screaming that? Like, did somebody?
We should show Bo the boys Bednar's speech after the pod.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, he cried. He cried. He couldn't contain it, man. As far as the series goes, though, the only other thing I want to say is the reffing was awful.
For both sides. But the thing is, the reffing was so bad that I got merchandise for it. So
it was so bad, but it was both sides were affected. Please stop with the Lightning ref copium. Thank you.
I love the ESPN series, the journey for the cup thing, and like during game four, Landeskog just goes up to the ref. He's like, "All right, we just got from a game where we were literally murdering each other two nights ago, and now you're calling ticky tack stuff. Like, what is going on, guys?"
I like how
help us help you.
I like how during game two, Corey Perry started messing with Kemper and was just allowed to do that for the rest of the series. But you have that like moment where like they call Corey Perry for like spearing or slashing or, you know, whatever on the goaltender, and his stick is stuck in Kemper's pad and he can't get it out. And so they call Kemper for holding the stick, and the ref is explaining to Perry like, no, I got both of you for a penalty. You can like stop now. Like, it's okay. And then Kemper just goes, he tried to spear me in the dick.
Yeah, well, I saw that.
You see Perry go like, what the heck? And then the ref's like, no, you're good, man. We got both of you. And then Kemper looks over and goes like, what?
I was like, wait a minute.
What are you talking about? Like, yes, I put the stick into my own groin. That is most definitely what I did.
And I kept it there just to get a competitive advantage. I loved it all.
Some like, hot stick on stick action.
Yeah.
I just like the he tried to spear me in the dick. So yeah, reffing was annoying. I think I am far over it now because doesn't matter has cup. But at the time, I was definitely very annoyed with Tampa complaining about every call ever.
I'm so surprised they didn't get a slashing penalty after that second goal.
I'm a little surprised that Stamkos didn't get his 3-game suspension for shooting that puck at a ref, but, you know, whatever.
Hear me out. Because I was irritated at them, too, for a large part of that. But, like, But the way the reffing works in this sport, if you're not doing that, you're the problem. You know, like, you got to take advantage of the system if they're going to be bitches. You know what I mean? Because it works, right? So I'm not mad at
it. Just
I'm mad at the refs for letting it affect them.
Yeah, I think it just looked bad more than anything. Because I have a lot of respect for the Tampa Bay Lightning and like what they've been able to do. I like Cooper. I like a fair bit of those Lightning players. I just don't like the optics of like bad thing happens, immediately wind a ref.
I mean, like, on a human level, sure, fuck you, but
and also just like to our human
level shit with the two cup rings in their ears, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But where does our third cup ring go?
Yeah, the butt.
Yeah, there we go.
I think it was a great series. Obviously I would say that because my team won, but if you don't like it, too bad.
I mean, even Friedman and Chicklet, like, everyone was like, that's the best series I've seen in years.
Well, I think they also got tired of watching Tampa Bay just look at the other team and go like, oh, thank you for the cup, guys.
Yeah, the Habs and the Stars. Noted world beaters. The Habs and the Stars.
Habs and the Stars. Like,
seeing
like,
best on best hockey was good shit. And a Stanley Cup final.
Yeah. Not a lot of injuries on either side. Obviously, Braden Point was injured. That's a big loss for them. Kadri was injured for most of it.
Well, everyone. The thing is, everyone's injured at that point.
Yeah. I gotta say, in addition to the like too many men stuff, like six players, seven players, blah blah blah. I think it is just really funny that Naz beat three dudes and a goalie with a broken thumb. I find that to be very
That shot
funny.
Was a weird floaty bullshit shot. Too. I'm surprised though.
I know. That,
well, you that look one... at Vasilevskiy and he thinks where the shot's going to go because he's like, well, if this is the normal player, this is where they're shooting. And then he has that shot happen the way it does. And he's like, I forgot this guy has a broken thumb.
Yeah, that's the shot of a man who's like gripping the stick with four fingers and doesn't have his thumb pressure around it at all.
Like, Vasilevskiy, like, it went in, and he was like, I totally forgot that guy has no thumb, so.
Nobody knew it was in. Like, this
except
is like, wait,
Byram
hold up.
Across the ice is, like, pointing at
that's
it.
That's a goal.
He's like, hey,
I
in.
Love Bo,
and
man.
Then Stamkos, and then Stamkos is like, oh, crap, fishes it out, and he's Bo's like, it's in, guys!
And I then Bo just started screaming on the ice, posed that on social media for some reason, and everybody was like, what?
Yeah. He did it during the parade, too. He's like, post that on social media.
This is him almost getting kicked out of the parade because the police left.
Dude, so I, listen, I relate with that cop.
Because when Bo ran by
well,
us,
so
like,
so so
that?
We went to the parade. We got there like 2 hours early. We walked the entire parade route, essentially, like back and forth to get in and out of that place. I was miserable. I hated it. I was...
I'm not going to let you be a police sympathizer on this podcast.
No, no, no. So listen, you'll see. You'll see. You'll see where I'm going with this.
No, I know where you're going with it.
I was
bitching to me about it.
I was
fuck
bitching
you.
To Jake about all the bad stuff that was happening, annoying horns everywhere, people preaching about how the end times are coming on speakers that suck ass all over each other, four people at the same time in a line talking over each other.
They're all in the line talking over each other, being 15
talking
feet away
about
from each other.
How hockey is bad and we're going to go to hell for it or whatever. And that was before people started drinking beer out of shoes, let me tell you.
Dude, that was, they used to be on my campus, just line, because the Maria campus is just a big straight line, right? And so it was just people lined up in the middle of all the walkways, just shouting, like, calling women whores for how they were dressing and shit, and telling everybody they're going to hell. And the school didn't do anything about it for, like, 5 years.
Oh, wait, they finally did something about it? I would have expected them
to
go, like...
Yeah, something about it.
I would have expected them to be like, nah, you guys don't be there, you're... Yeah, who cares?
Well, because they were starting fights to get lawsuit money, is, like, the thing they're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
That's so, anyways... We're at this parade, and I'm having a bad time for the most part, right? And there are people that are just kind of jumping into, like, the middle of the street doing dumb shit. Like, somebody was trying to cross the street, jumped over the thing, dropped their food, and everybody was like, aww, which was pretty funny. But then people were, like, breakdancing and stuff. So I'm expecting people to be running around and doing dumb shit, right? And this dude runs by like a fucking madman, like a bat out of hell, crazy. Like, and I'm just like, man, this guy's really going for it. And then I notice that this random dude that I assume is just freaking the hell out is wearing a Bowen Byram jersey. And I'm like, that's a weird one for people to have that are just going to act like a weird asshole in the middle of a parade. And then I noticed the flow and I'm like, oh, that's not just some random asshole. That's Bowen Byram.
Like, I noticed it immediately once, because I was like, there's no way there's a fan running anywhere near these trucks. I was like, this has to be somebody. And I was like, oh, it's Bo.
I saw the jersey and then I was like, wait a minute, I'm very suspicious. And then I saw the hair and I'm like, whoa, that is Bo. That is Bo and Byram.
New Hook followed suit like 5 seconds later. And we're like, okay, so we're like, dude, the rookies are just running around being
New Hook.
We love them.
New Hook straight up waterfalled 2 beers at the same time in the middle of the street over by where Byram was.
Yeah, they did an interview with the news station I was watching. And Bo was coherent, and then New Hook was just rambling about bullshit. Like, oh, no.
Dude, so there was a lot of, like, parade talk on Twitter after the parade, as you might imagine. But it was a lot of, like, your parade is not as cool as our parade. And I get it, because obviously the parade for your team is going to mean a lot more to you. But I had one person... Because I took that picture of Arturi Lekkonen drinking out of the shoe, right? Like, had, like, the 15 minutes of fame and had a bunch of people just, like, talking shit about the shoey or, like, talking shit about the parade or how that's, like, you know, that's chump shit. And somebody was like, yeah, but it doesn't beat the time that this Penguin player was walking in the middle of the street drinking a beer. That was epic. And I didn't have the heart to, like... engage with that at all, because I just imagined New Hook in the middle of that street just taking 2 beers at once, freaking the fuck out, and I'm just like, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like the Avs probably let it get to them a lot more than that, than the Penguins during their second parade or whatever.
Reports have basically said, wow, the Avs are the craziest team that has had this thing for a long fucking time. What the hell?
Well, at least with the trophy itself, they've been brutalizing that thing.
No, like, in general, they've just apparently been, like, way going hard, like, hyper way the fuck out there.
Yeah.
No, alright. I would have thought the Capitals would have been that, because...
I mean, it's hard to be Ovi specifically, but...
I was about to say, I would have assumed that entire team took Ovi's energy, but I don't think anyone can match Ovi's energy.
Dude, the next day, after they won the cup, they had that picture of Eric Johnson, like, naked in his bed with the cup. And I'm just like, there's no way that, like, nothing sexual happened. Like, I feel like that cup has been... like, tainted. Like,
oh, did you not listen to the Chicklets interview?
No, I did. Landeskog gave it to him, but, like, dude, that's just the vibe you get from that picture, right?
It's Landeskog
just like,
oh. Gave it to him naked.
Yeah, he was hanging dong, and he's just like, here, EJ, take this pic.
Here's the picture for the homies in our chat. Because I'm sure they
have this. Nice. You'll love to,
like,
see it.
That cup has seen some things.
Yeah, I remember seeing that one.
I was about to say, Valeri Nichushkin, not even...
Dude, I know.
Just an hour after winning the cup was like...
Nuke just with a half-broken foot, just wearing the NHL title belt hanging down. Like...
Well, I wanted to buy that thing, but it's $600, and I'm like, yeah, fuck, man.
I know.
I looked at it, and I was like, came, get this damn. I was like, I'm trying to get this jersey, and they won't let me get this damn jersey. But it's like, I'm like, how the hell am I going to get this belt?
It's like made out of real leather and shit, that belt. And it's just like, wait a minute, come on. I would buy a cheap one. I would buy like a foam one.
Fucking EJ went live on Insta and was like, "You guys want to see the cup?" And all the comments were like, "Yeah." And then he lifts up his shirt and shows his nipple to the camera. Oh, these
Jesus,
bunch of dudes being guys. These lads, I'll tell you what.
I like the one the Instagram where Comfer is just feeling the sides of the bowl of the cup, like really focused in on it because he's drunk as hell, and they're like asking him a question and he like looks up and goes, "What?"
Bro,
he's like, "I'm sorry, I was feeling the side of this bowl."
Like, man, my guy.
And then there's wholesome stuff like Jack Johnson letting his kids eat ice cream out of the cup.
Hell yeah, brother.
As soon as Dakota said about said we're gonna use the small things, I sat there and was like, oh yeah, I forgot JT went to a fucking club and had them play all the small things. And I was sitting there going like, this is not gonna leave. This song is gonna stay with this team forever now.
It's we're our Gloria, tortured. Baby.
We're all tortured now.
Better believe it.
There all right, no every team, all if you want to win a cup, you have to find a song.
Yeah. Random song.
Random song. It can't be something that your building has played a bunch of. It has to be random out of nowhere. Then you'll win your cup. There you go. Secret Discord tech that we've learned from the Blues.
You know, it's been a week since free agency started, and we haven't signed Nazem Kadri, and I'm beginning to suspect that when Mikko Rantanen went on Instagram and drunkenly said that he was working things out with Naz and he was going to get it done, that maybe he may not have been telling the truth.
I forgot that Mikko.
He's
that.
Like, yeah, we're going to sign Naz. We're getting it done.
No. The thing is,
said that in an interview. Or somebody asked him, like, on their Insta. He didn't go live.
No, my thing is, actually, Drunk Mikko is still negotiating those contracts.
Oh, man.
No, absolutely. But no, somebody was being annoying with a video camera and was like, "Hey, Mikko, what's with Naz?" And Mikko was like, "I'm gonna figure it out."
He's like, he's coming back.
We're doing it. We're doing it. We're figuring it out. Don't worry.
4 more years. I've really enjoyed just how happy and just kind of balls out they've been in being able to like express themselves in ways you don't see hockey players normally do.
Well, we finally have seen the most expression that Nathan MacKinnon can give that is not pure rage and disappointment.
Nate said he's gonna get fat now, so we'll have to see about that.
Yeah, no, again, he got real happy. He's finally happy. He won his cup.
He's
now
gonna
ice cream can finally come back to the fucking locker room.
It's like everybody gets one scoop per year. Man. It still kind of hasn't sunk in for me. You know? Like, we're sitting here talking about like what we're gonna do next season, and sometimes it just kind of comes in and out like, damn, they won that thing. They did it.
Yeah.
It's been 21 years since the last time they did it, and they just, you know, did it again.
I talked about it a little bit the last time, but it is especially because, you know, I haven't really been around the team for as long as you guys have, so it's just like, wow, that's crazy.
But like,
I just see a little bit of the lead up.
But you still like got one of like, so you didn't get the darkest moment, right? In the like the 48 point crappy worst season that a team has ever had, right? But you guys experienced what I would say is probably the second darkest moment of like this run. Like just watching them collapse against Vegas last year was like awful.
especially with how good they were leading up to it. So, like, you guys have still, like, seen it. Like, you've been there. You've been riding the ride. And it doesn't get any higher than this, my friends.
No, it gets higher when we win next.
And then the year after that. 10 years.
We forged years. The new Mega Dynasty.
But yeah, man, I think that the biggest thing for me is that this team, once they figure out the second line center situation, this team is going to be competitive again. It's just going to stay competitive. And I think that that's sick. Like, they're just not done yet. Sam Girard doing cartwheels and lifting up his girlfriend with a broken sternum, though.
My real question is, how long does it take for a sternum?
It usually takes, like, 5 or 6 months, I think.
5 or 6 months. So he was, what, 1 month into recovery?
Like, maybe two.
Maybe two. He's doing cartwheels, bench pressing the cup and lifting up his girlfriend.
He did do that. Dude, Miko drunkenly started bench pressing the cup and forgot how to count in English and was just making up nonsense and, like, miscounting.
Well, as he stated during his speech, he forgot English and he's just going to hang out with Lucky.
I love how they got peer pressured into doing the shoey by a fan. I don't know if you saw that video, Indy.
Yeah, no, I saw it and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Because Miko saw it and then he tapped Lecky and was like, yo, look at that guy.
So the dude drank out of the shoe and he just kind of like gestured the shoe towards them like, now it's your guys' turn. And they were like, whoa, we've been called out. Finland gotta represent.
We can't get showed off by this random Denver Coloradoan. We need to drink out of the shoes.
Exactly.
You have been challenged. Yeah, so anyway.
Anime as leaders.
Yeah. At anime as leaders.
I thought you were taking us out there. I was letting you do your thing.
Oh, no. No. I'm trying to fill in the void for you.
No, you're all good.
If you want to take it down yourself, go ahead.
I thought you were doing it. Like, I thought that you were getting ready to take over there. I was letting you have your lane.
No, you do it.
It's okay. After a little bit of development, you'll get there. It's fine. It's part of the 5-year plan.
Oh, I see. I understand.
Alright, so if you want to follow the podcast, you can do so on Twitter. It is at GritHockeyCast. If you want to follow me, you can do so at Kumodere. That's KUMODERE. If you want to follow Jake, you can do so on Twitter. Where do you do that?
At Anime As Leaders.
That's right. At Anime As Leader. That is where you can follow Jake. At Anime As Leaders.
Do you want to pimp your new Twitter, Indy, or are you just going to operate as the watcher from there?
I'm just the watcher. I'm not going to post anything.
All right.
That is how I'm going to be getting my news of what the hell is happening in the world, because nowhere else is effective.
Eventually, 2 years from now, when Nazem Kadri signs, you will know because of Twitter.
Yep. Exactly.
Alrighty. Well, thanks for dealing with our meandering here. It's a lot of incohesive thoughts.
Yeah, because you were really carrying on for a little bit at the end there.
Nope. It's fine.
Look, we got the magic edit button.
Exactly. And, there's a lot of empty space that gets deleted here.
It's all gonna go away.
Alrighty. Well, thanks for hanging out. Y'all have a good one. We will see you next time. Probably do like an emergency pod or something if we find a second line center.
Yeah.
Other than that, probably pretty silent for a bit.
Bye.
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 Goodbye.